Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter, Revelation chapter 21. Let us sing first from Psalter 125, stanzas 4 through 7. Enthroned in royal state, all glorious thou shalt dwell, with garments fair, inwrought with gold, the church he loveth well. 4 through 7 of Psalter 125.
Scripture reading for this morning can be found in the last book of the Bible, Revelations chapter 21. But first we read the law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth, an emerald, the fifth, sardox, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, crystallite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, a topaz, the tenth, a chrysoprasus, the 11th, a jacinth, the 12th, an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Thus far.
We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. Bert Grisnick, who had surgery in this past week. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty, holy, righteous, and just God, who, as we have heard in these few moments, does sit upon thy throne in a place of great glory, that we upon this thy footstool are not able to comprehend in the least part of it. Lord, thou art great, thou art mighty, thou art lifted up, thou art sitting in thy majesty, and thou knowest who and what we are in and through our deep fall in Adam, our covenant head. And yet what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast yet looked upon thy church in mercy, to send forth thine only begotten Son, with that desire in thy heart to bring them again into thy most blessed communion and favor. And Lord, thou knowest that by nature we have no impression thereof. We have no desire, therefore. But we go on in the wilderness of this world, seeking all that is vain and passing away. And soon, if thou dost not prevent, then we will end in our own destruction, and that to a great and never-ending eternity, from which we will never, never return, when all the means and all the opportunity shall be stripped away from us so righteously, after that thou hast called us time and time again in the way of nature, but also in the way of thy holy word, and with the callings of providence, and with the callings of the preaching of the sacraments, wherein thou hast said unto us from the days of our youth, turn ye, for why would ye die? O Lord, then it is our death state, wherein we are not able to return again, and there is no desire in our hearts. And therefore, we beseech thee in this morning hour, when in the morning our prayer does come to thee, that it may as incense rise in this morning to God who sits upon his throne, that thou may stretch forth thy mighty arm, and that thou may do a wonder in this morning hour, that thou may shoot thine arrows into the hearts of miserable dead sinners, that they may be awakened out of our death state, and that we may be given eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to understand in this hour, because we do not know, O Lord, our life, then it can be the last time that we come into thy house. It can be the last time that thy word is coming to our ears. And then it is so necessary to experience between the cradle and the grave the power of thy Holy Spirit to awaken us, to grant us hearts that begin to love the true and the living God, to grant us new desires and new longings, and to strip us from all the strength and the wisdom and the righteousness which is of ourselves, and to grant us a need in our heart for thine only begotten Son, in whom thou art well pleased. O Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life. Thou alone hast the power given unto thee. O, do it then for the sake of thy great name. And when the angels about thy throne would rejoice in this hour, when one sinner would repent, smiting upon his breast and saying, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner. O, that thou mayst seek us out as that great shepherd. And when we have wandered away from thee in paradise, O, that thou may bring us again, that we may come together with weeping and with supplications, that thou may bring us as that prodigal thou spakest of in thy holy word to our senses. Oh, that we may be given when we are sitting in that swine pen, that we may come unto ourselves. Oh, that our thoughts may go back again unto our Maker and our Creator, that we may say also within our own hearts, I will arise and I will return. And I will say, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. O Lord, thou lookest from thy place for thine elect children. Thou lookest for them and thou waitest for them for thy Holy Spirit's work to bring them once again. And when they will be coming, then thou wilt run forth to meet them. Then thou wilt show thyself to be so willing to a wretched and a miserable creature. May they also be found in the midst of us in this morning hour, those with a mountain of sin and who are not able to overcome it, those that must condemn themselves because of their iniquity, and because of the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and because there is a longing for the way of the world continually. O Lord, those that do humble themselves before thee, wilt thou grant them a little crumb in this morning, a little crumb from that master's table. And when they have become unworthy in themselves of the least of all thy mercies, notice or attention, that it may be in this morning, that wonder may be born in their hearts, that the Lord thinketh upon me, that thou may show them that thou knowest where that they are, that thou knowest the condition of their heart and of their life, and that thou still yet hast a little favor to be shown unto those who have left thee. O Lord, teach us, lead us, and guide us into all thy truth. We have heard it in this hour. It is a word that is true. It is a word that is faithful. But we have no faith to believe it by nature. And even after received grace, then faith is a gift of God. Look upon thy children. Thou knowest each one where they are, even after in the last Sabbath day, all that has taken place by way of word and sacrament. And thou knowest how that thy people get themselves back again. Lord, then it still remains a militant church here below. And they have struggle in that warfare until the last day, until that last breath. That thou may feed thy church also in this day, and that thou may look upon thy people to show unto them once again, by renewal and by way of increase, from where all their help must come, how that it is such a finished work, and that there is nothing required anymore from their side, that they may forsake that old covenant, their father's house and every former friend, and that they may be given by grace to cleave unto thee. Look upon all the needy in this life. Thou knowest him that has received surgery in the week that is gone by. Wilt thou strengthen him in his body, that he may in due time take up the labors of his hands for his family once again. Remember his children. Him that suffers pain, yet wilt thou heal him, Lord. Wilt thou give an increase in his health, and also his brother, and all that family, that thou may look upon them from above, and all the ways wherein thou dost lead them. And then there are others also, the children. Thou knowest those that from time to time have to go to the hospital, that have needs and wants known unto thee. Oh, that thou may look upon them in the days of their youth and grant them a blessing upon the ways wherein thou dost lead them here below, and that it may be for the mortification of sin, and that it may be for the turning again to the true and the living God. Remember also the child that has had to bury his own father in this past week. O Lord, that thou may look upon him in the days of his youth, and remember him in the need of his soul, as strengthen those that care for him day by day. Oh, give them to cleave fast together unto thee and thy holy word of truth. Remember each one in all the needs and cares of this life. Wilt thou supply for all that have needs of the mind that are known unto thee and of the body, and those that bear secret crosses, oh, give them a place upon their knees before thee at thy footstool, and give them to experience that thou livest, and that thou art the governor over all the land. Look upon us as a congregation, as a classes, as a denomination, that thou may remember all the needs of the church. Oh, that thou may give an increase, Lord, in thy work, that there may be new ones born in Zion, that instead of the fathers may come the children, and that thou may grant also servants to go forth to bring thy word. Wilt thou help each one that is called by thee, and also the student and all those that instruct him? Oh, that thy nearness and thy presence may be felt and experienced by thy servants and all those that do lead also in the vacant congregations. May thou give an increase also in our strength, that we may go more and more, if it could please thee, before this our flock. And may thou give an increase also in the grace, for thou knowest all that lives in our heart. O Lord, we must be taught by thee, if we will also be able to instruct thy people, and that we may be an under-shepherd under thee, thou great shepherd of thy flock. Oh, that thou thyself may bless us as a congregation in outward ways to give an increase in all the needs and cares of the families. But may it be to bless us, to open the windows of heaven, and to pour us out those spiritual blessings that we cannot miss upon our journey, that it may be experienced in a little measure in this morning hour. Oh, give to us that freedom, give to us that liberty, that thy word may have free course amongst us by the power of thy most Holy Spirit, and that thou may walk to and fro among the aisles and among the benches of this our flock in this morning hour, that there may be a true desire and a need, and a holy jealousy born in the hearts of young and old together, and by thy most Holy Spirit, that there may be a leading unto thy holy throne, and that the cry may ascend up as incense before thee, and that thou may hear from heaven thy dwelling place. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offerings are being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 31, stanzas 2 through 4 and 7. With steadfast courage I design, and no wrong to speak or do. Thy path of life I choose for mine, and walk in purpose true. For help, O God, I cry to thee. assured that thou wilt answer me. The last collection today is for the Blue Book Sermons, 31, 2, 3, 4, and 7.
Thank you.
Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in Psalm 45. Psalm 45. And thereof, the verses 13 through 15. Psalm 45, verses 13 through 15, and then in a special way, the last part of the 15th verse. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. So far, the words of our text. Entrance into the king's palace. First, we want to consider the king's palace, what this palace is. Second, who enters into this palace. And third, the great rejoicing at the entrance into the king's palace. Entrance into the king's palace. First, the king's palace. Second, who enters into the king's palace. And third, the great rejoicing at the entrance into the king's palace. Congregation, our text that speaks about a palace. And boys and girls, then no doubt you know what a palace is in this world. That is the dwelling of those that are very, very rich. That is always a very great building. It is a dwelling that is very richly ornamented. And then there is no delight and there is no comfort that is missing within a rich man's palace. But our text that speaks about the king's palace, thus we would say the palace of a king, that is going to be the palace of palaces in the kingdom. And that is going to be the greatest palace in that kingdom. Nothing is going to be spared for the delight and for the comforts of that king. But now our text that speaks about what king? Or we have been considering together who that this king is. That is not an earthly king, but that is the heavenly king. That is Christ himself. That is the King of kings. That is the Lord of lords. Then we must say, if the Bible is speaking about the palace of this king, then how great must that palace be when it is comparing for us the greatest, the most magnificent of dwellings that we might know of in this world, to describe for us that dwelling of the Most High. We have heard that in a special way he is being displayed to us, he is being portrayed to us as the conquering king. Thus, he has gone off to war, and thus that palace of that king that is receiving a special significance because then it also is speaking about a rest and a peace, when this king has received the victories over all of his enemies. When we think about the great palace that Solomon has built, when he has received rest through the victories even of his father from all of the enemies that were round about him. And now we read here in this chapter about two palaces. The first one we heard a little bit something about already. They are called the ivory palaces. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad. And we heard what they were. You remember still, boys and girls, they are the institutions of the Lord. They are the ordinances of the Lord. They are the places where God's people are assembling in this world. They are representations of his day, of his house, and all of his institutions. Or do we realize that when we come among the assembly of God's church, when we come in the house of the Lord, and that we are entering into the king's palace? Or how then do we behave ourselves within that palace of the king? Because there in that palace, there is a spiritual marriage taking place. There the Lord is bringing his bride unto himself. And there the daughters of the king, and they are being born. There it is that the tokens of the love of that king unto her bride, they are being expressed, they are being shown, they are being poured out. Oh, it is in that palace that that king is manifesting himself, that he is showing himself, that he is revealing his will. That he is communing with his bride. Thus we come week by week, young people, into a very special place. Into a very special place because we come into those ivory palaces. And when we have not that grace that we stand in need of to live and to die, oh, then it is in that place, in a special way, that we may fold our hands, that we may close our eyes, that we may beseech the king who is dwelling in that palace. Do you believe that? Because he says, where only two or three are gathered in my name, then the Lord, he is in their midst. Thus he is going forth in the midst of the assemblies of his people in those ivory palaces. But now our text that speaks about another palace. We read about the king's palace. They shall enter into the king's palace. And now it is speaking here about something that is different from those ivory palaces. That is not speaking here about what is earthly, what is temporal. But here when it speaks about the king's palace, then it is speaking about that which is heavenly. It is speaking about that place where the Lord is dwelling in his glory. That is speaking about where the Lord is dwelling in the heaven of heavens, in the third heavens, or we are of the earth. And we are of such little and darkened understanding, and we cannot comprehend what the word of God is even saying unto us about that heavenly place. And yet there is something. We have read it together. A little bit in that word of God, wherein, as it were, we may be given by the Lord only to stand without and to look, as it were, a little through the gates, and there God's church may enter in, and there we may behold just a little something of the great glory of that king and what that heavenly and glorious place may be. Thus we read John, he was carried away in the spirit unto a great and high mountain. And there he may see that heavenly Jerusalem descending from above. And that it is as a bride adorned for her husband. Oh, then it is the glory of God that he has seen. And then he says it was lit, it was lighted even as a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Then he has seen that it had walls high and great and 12 gates, and angels of the Lord, they are standing at those gates. And not only so, but we read that our names, they are written upon those gates, and they are the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Oh, that is what our text is speaking about when we read, they shall enter into the king's palace. Thus it is speaking about the entrance of God's children into that place of that awful majesty and glory of that eternal king. When is that happening? That is happening in the day of their death, when their body is going down into the grave. Oh, then their soul, that is being taken up by the angels of heaven, and that is being received once again into glory. They shall enter into the king's palace. And that is taking place also on another day. That is that day that their body shall be raised from the dead, that the spirit may be joined once again unto the body. Oh, when the angels of God, they shall gather that church, and when the Lord shall publicly before all the world declare unto his people his love. It is congregation, the final consummation of that marriage of the bride. Here, as it were, there is an espousal. Here, as it were, there is a promise that is made unto her that he will take her. But now we read of the fulfillment of that promise, that final solemnity that is reserved unto that great day, that is reserved unto that day of the marriage supper of the Lamb, that final homecoming. O congregation, how that king is waiting for that day. How that king, he is longing for that day. What is he doing? He is preparing a place for them, we read. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would have told you, in my Father's house are many mansions. And if I prepare a place for you, then I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself. Oh, he is calling them, and then he is waiting, and that that Spirit's work may bring it to an end, and that he may receive his bride unto himself. Even as Isaac went out into that field to meditate and to pray, and then he is looking and he is longing for Eliezer to return again with his bride. What did Joseph say unto his brethren? When he has revealed himself, when he has shown himself, then he says, make haste, oh, go to my father, and say, come down unto me. Oh, do not tarry, congregation. Heaven is waiting. Heaven is preparing for that marriage supper of the Lamb. And when that whole church of God may be gathered around his throne, and when that mystery of godliness that may finally be completed. We read under the altar in heaven, then there are souls that are crying, that have suffered for the word of God. And then they are longing and looking for that day when that vengeance shall be taken, And when the entire church of God shall be gathered together, and they are saying, O Lord, even this day, O Lord, how long? O heaven that is waiting, heaven that is preparing, and even the earth, we read, that is groaning. The whole creation, we read, that groaneth, that travaileth in pain together until now, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body, and therefore earthquakes, famines, pestilences, and earth that is sorrowing, that is burdened with the sin of all of its inhabitants. Oh, they shall enter into the king's palace. Who is that? That shall enter there. That is our second thought. We read it is the bride. And we read that bride, she is called here the daughter of the king. The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king. Thus, in the first place, that is the daughter of the king. And then in the second place, we read about her companions, the virgins, her companions that follow her shall be brought unto thee. Thus, who is that, children? That is the bride and her companions. We have heard that already together. Do you remember? Do you meditate? Do you think at all upon what you hear upon the Lord's day? Then that is the church. That is the church in her variability. That is all the congregations. That is all the nations wherein that church is found. That is also the very individuals, one by one, because there will not be one hoof that is left behind in that great day of days. What a train. What a beautiful train that shall be. When they are all gathered together, when the angels shall gather the elect from the four quarters of the earth, and when before all the world they will be set before that judgment seat of God, and when they will be placed on the right hand of God, a multitude, though a remnant, that no man is able to number. Who is it? Oh, they are those who sought for heaven. Is that right, boys and girls? They are those who sought for heaven. You say, minister, that is not what you said to us. Then you are right. It is not those who have sought for heaven. No, because everyone in the whole world, they desire to go to heaven when they die. No, we have heard something else. We have seen something else last week. Oh, what have we heard? Oh, we heard there are people, they say, thou art fairer than the children of men. And who is that? Oh, that is the king. Oh, what is heaven? What is heaven without the king? What is heaven without God? What is heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ? What are the benefits without the benefactor? No, what do we read here? We read, she shall be brought unto the king. Unto the king. O congregation, as she sees a preciousness in him. She has experienced a need for him. Or he has revealed himself to her soul. Or she has seen him as white and ruddy. That king that is displayed to us in this chapter in a special way as that conquering king. We heard that. That is a king that has conquered what? Oh, that is a king that has conquered his enemies and the enemies of his church. And what are those enemies? That is world, that is Satan, and that is in a special way sin. Sin, O congregation, has sin become your enemy? Because we have heard a little bit how that the Lord is making sin to be sin in the life of God's children, how the Lord is giving them a burden with sin, how that the Lord is giving them a sorrow for sin. Oh, we have heard a little bit how that the Lord, he is sending his son as that king to conquer that sin, to deliver his people from that sin, to pay that price for sin. Oh, we have heard a little bit how that the Lord is working that need within their heart for him as he that is stronger than sin, as he that is able to overcome it, as he that has paid its price to the satisfaction of his Father, when they are so weak against that great company that is coming against them, and when they are not able to overcome the least sin in their life, no, not even the sins of the thoughts, oh, then they experience something of that need for the might and for the power of that king. Oh, then we have heard a little bit how that he is showing himself, how that he is revealing himself in his might, so that he is making himself to become precious in the eyes of his children. And then we have seen it. Or we have seen it how that king, that he is making that people to come to stand upon his right hand. Or that he is clothing them in that gold of Ophir, that he is caring for them, that he is bestowing upon them every gift that is coming from himself and from his Father and from his obedience and from his work and from his person and from his conquest, everything being bestowed upon his church. Oh, we have heard a little bit of the admonition and that she has received, when she has received all these gifts and all these blessings out of the right hand of that king, and then that admonition that is coming unto her to hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear, forget also thine own people and thy father's house, so shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. Oh, we heard a little bit what a warfare that this is. That this is not possible in her own strength. That is the way of sanctification that the Lord, he is admonishing his people in a way of war. Therefore, that expression among the children of God, welcome in the strife. Oh, how many times do they not still fear to perish? Because of the daily workings of sin, because of the remainings of sin. And therefore, then he is instituting the Holy Supper of the Lord, and therefore it is so necessary. But now, congregation, we wish to go a little further, and it is necessary to go a little further. And it is such a wonder that the Word of God that goes also further. Because God's children, even with all those blessings, they are receiving themselves back again. It can be so good. It can be so good to receive the blessings of the Lord in his house, under his institutions. But then we need to go on again. And then Oh, the devil, he knows just where that our people do live. And so the Lord, he is coming once again in his word, that strengthening that is not only by that holy supper, no, but that is also through that the preaching of that word of God. Now, what does it say in the words of our text? It says, they shall enter into the king's palace. Oh, do you hear that, young people? They shall enter. That is the word of God. There is no question about it. There is no if before it. No, it says, they shall enter. That is something that is so sure from the side of the Lord. That is so unconditionally given from the Lord. They shall enter. Do you know what we read here? It says, they shall be brought unto the king. They shall be brought there. Whose work is that? That is not their own work. No, that is the work of another. That is the work of the king. Then he only speaks and it is done. Thus they shall be brought. Because that king, then he will command that they shall be brought. Three times over again we read it. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee with gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. And so, congregation, they shall enter. Oh, they shall enter because they shall be brought. It cannot be otherwise. Oh, they are going to enter despite remaining sin. They shall enter despite their failings. They shall enter despite their shortcomings. They shall enter despite all their backslidings. They shall enter despite all their fears. They shall enter despite all the self-reproachings that are living day by day within their own hearts. Oh, they shall enter, even though they have to say, I am black. They shall enter, though they have to say, woe is me. They shall enter, though the further they go on upon their journey in this life, the more that they have to cover their lip and to cry out, unclean, unclean. But what does the Lord say? He says, they shall enter. Oh, what do we read of that church here in our text? The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing that is of wrought gold, that is the way it is seen, congregation, by the Lord, incomprehensible. The king's daughter is all glorious within. We cannot understand it, no, but it is the word of the Lord. And we read together that word is true and that word that is faithful. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, my meat is to do the will of my Father and to finish his work. What work is that? To finish his work. Do you see, children? Do you see two people? They are going with bowed heads. They are walking away from that beautiful garden. From that beautiful garden. All that was, the most beautiful palace that was ever here upon this world. When the Lord, He has created man in His own image. And there was not a delight. And there was not a comfort missing in that beautiful palace. And now we see these two people, and one as the head of the covenant, and as the head of all mankind, and they go out with bowed heads. Oh, see them in their guilt. See them go out in their shame, that they need now to be covered. Oh, see them go out in their sorrow. See them go out in their grief. And see that angel placed after they are gone out, that angel placed within that entrance, so that they cannot come into that tree of life anymore. And now, congregation, and now read what we have in our text. They shall enter into the king's palace. Oh, they shall be brought. This, congregation, is what it means to finish His work. He says, my meat is to do the will of my Father and to finish His work. They shall enter into the king's palace. That is now the completion, the finishing of His work. No, young people, it is not like the Arminians say, that it is just an offer of grace. And you, by common grace, you have to take hold of that with your own powers. No, it is not so. If that's the way it was, it would be so impossible and it would be so lost for each and every one of us. But what do we read here in the Word of God? That it is His meat to finish His work. Thus He says, I am the beginning and I am the ending. I am the Alpha, but I am also the Omega. Thus He is speaking about that one-sided, that blessed one-sided work of God. That is the greatest comfort of all of God's children. O thou who hast, that work thou hast for me begun, that shall by thy grace be fully done. How will He do it? Oh, congregation, He will give them a right to it. He will give them a right to that entrance, that they may enter into that king's palace. Where does that come from? We have read it together in the past weeks out of the Word of God. When we have read it here in this psalm, that of the, what the bride, she is saying, concerning that king, and that she sees him as fairer than the children of men. And then what does she say? She says, grace. Grace is poured into thy lips. Oh, that is how that she receives the right to enter in by grace, free and sovereign grace. But now our text that is speaking about something else. And what is that? That is not to receive the right, but they have also to be made fit for it. To be made fit for it. They have not only to be justified, but they have also to be sanctified. And we have heard of her responsibility. What is that responsibility? Hearken, O daughter, and consider. Oh, forget, forget, forget. Thy father's house, an old covenant, the way of the world, your old life, sin, vanity, carnality, forget it. And how does it go, people of the Lord? Oh, if it were by this that you had to enter in, then you say that is impossible. But no, he says they shall enter. They shall enter into the king's palace. Why? Because it is not depending on her warfare, no. What does Paul say? He says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He made unto us sanctification and redemption. And therefore the psalmist says, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing that is of wrought gold. Oh, he sees her already here as so glorious. Oh, she is glorious in his sight, even in the warfare. She is glorious in his sight in the strivings against sin. Oh, she is glorious in his sight in the desires of her heart, of that new man, the affections of the heart that are by times rising over that old man. Oh, she is glorious in his sight, in faith, in hope, in love, in her cryings to him for help, in her dependence upon him, in her trusting in him. Oh, the king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. Thus every imperfection and every stain and every fault that is so completely covered by this clothing. What do we read? She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. What is that? You know what that is, boys and girls? Needlework. Maybe you have seen your mother do that. Needlework. Oh, that is something that takes skill. And then the most beautiful materials in the world, they are coming together with those skillful hands. And when those two things are coming together, then we get what we read here, raiment of needlework. O congregation, the redemption of the church of God, that is the most intricate work of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost combined. In the decreeing of that redemption, in the working out of that redemption, in the application of that redemption, that is that raiment of needlework that bride she is appearing in to all the world and also unto that king. And so she will enter in. You say, how can that be? How can she enter in when there is still the stain of sin, when there is still the body of death? Can that enter into heaven? Oh, you are right. Let us sing first. 426. 426, stanzas 5 and 8. Thou, O Jehovah, in thy sovereign grace, hast saved my soul from death and woe appalling. dried all my tears, secured my feet from falling. Lo, I shall live and walk before thy face. 5 and 8 of 426. They shall enter into the king's palace. And what do we read, congregation, about that palace in the Word of God? We read that there shall enter therein nothing that defileth, neither that which worketh abomination, or that maketh a lie. How then is it possible that God's children, with all their stain and with all their shortcomings and all their faults, how then is that possible that God's children, they shall enter into that king's palace? Well, congregation, there is coming a day that that body of sin that is going to be laid in the grave, it is going to be buried. And there is coming a day that that body that will be raised again from the dead. And how will that be raised? We read in the Word of God that corruption that is going to be raised in incorruption. And what is it? It is congregation. That final victory is the final victory of that king, that conquering king, when he will do completely away with sin. As he is finishing the work that Father has given him to do. Or we read in the Word of God, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. How fearful is that enemy? Do you fear that enemy? How many of God's children are not so fearing that enemy, so fearing to cross over that river of Jordan, fearing for what is lying on the other side? We need grace to live. We need grace to die. And congregation, if we have never trembled before that enemy, then it is either because that we are ignorant or because we are just simply full of unbelief. But is there now a people who may ever behold something of the complete destruction by that king, even of that last enemy? O people of the Lord, is that event not most glorious that shall put away the very last remnants of sin that are still living in your heart? Or have you never seen the afflictions, the trials, the tribulations that the Lord lays upon you in this life? Have you never seen the gloriousness of them, for their mortifying character, in the mortifying, in the putting away of sin? And now shall not that last event, that laying down of that body of sin and death, will that not now be the last stitches that that great king is putting into that raiment of needlework? When mortality shall put on immortality, and when corruption shall put on incorruption, and when this, our vile body, will be made like unto his glorious body, oh, shall that not be the happiest day in the life of God's children? Oh, how that last enemy, every enemy, even to the very last enemy that has been conquered, that has been swallowed up by the might and by the wisdom and by the mercy and by the grace of this king, oh, death. Death itself turned from a punishment into a blessing, from a curse into a blessing, turned from an enemy into a friend. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And then, congregation, that rejoicing, that eternal rejoicing, they shall be brought, they shall enter into the king's palace. And how? Oh, it says, with gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. Oh, how carnal that we are. Oh, we can only, by what is revealed to us in the Word, have just a little glimpse of what is taking place in that church victorious, in that church triumphant, in that holy Jerusalem, with gladness, and rejoicing shall they be brought. There is not a nation in the whole world that is not rejoicing at a wedding. Oh, and then especially at the wedding of their princes and of their kings. And now what do we read? The daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. Even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. And that is the way John saw it. When he saw that city that had no need of the sun nor of the moon, for the glory of the Lord did shine in it, and the Lamb was the light thereof. And then he spoke about the nations that are saved, that they are walking in that city, and the kings of the earth, they are bringing their glory and their honor unto it. Oh, with gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. Oh, that headstone that shall be brought forth with cryings and with shoutings. Grace, grace unto it. John saw those four beasts and those 24 elders falling before the Lamb with their harps, with their golden vials, and they are filled with precious ointment, which are the prayers of the saints. And then they sing a new song. No man could learn that song except that 144,000 that were redeemed from the earth. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down, and they worshipped him that liveth forever and forever. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. Oh, if there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, then what a joy that day shall be when that marriage, that supper of the Lamb, that shall begin. Oh, then not only all those holy angels, but also the spirits of just men made perfect. Congregation, it is the final victory. The final victory over sin. Oh, what is sin to us, boys and girls? What is sin to us, young people, fathers and mothers? Oh, has sin become our enemy? Because if sin has never become our enemy, oh, then we have no part and we have no lot in this matter, and that to a never, never ending eternity. But there is such a blessed end that is waiting for a church militant here below, for a struggling church, when that enemy is too great for them to overcome. But the Lord is promising unto them that they shall enter into the king's palace. Was it any at Paul that he had a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which he says was far better? Is there now those in the midst of us, by the first fruits of the Spirit, that are sometimes groaning within themselves and waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body, because they shall enter into that king's palace. All day they shall be brought unto the king, and they shall nevermore depart from him, but they shall enjoy his communion, world without end. And then the king shall receive his desire that was expressed already in the days of his humiliation. Father, I will, the day that thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me from the foundation of the world. And then there shall be rejoicing, a rejoicing of God, a rejoicing of that people who says, I will be their God, and they shall be my people, and the tabernacle of God that is with men forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou grant us life in our souls for the first or by renewal? Oh, that we may see all the vanity of this world, that our eyes may be opened unto all that has soon to be left behind, and to where that we are traveling, oh, that it may also be for thy children, also an impulse, that indeed they may hearken, that they may incline their ear to forsake their own people and their father's house. O Lord, remember us in mercy and take us for thine own account when we cannot turn ourselves and we cannot give ourselves life or desire, but thou art able to do it for the sake of thy great name. O bring us in all together as individuals, but also as a congregation, that thy church may dwell in our midst, that it may increase, that we may receive instruction by thy Spirit out of thy word more and more, and that we may become less and less and nothing, and that thou may become more and more in everything. And wilt thou bring us safely to our places with desire again in thy house in this afternoon. Help him that will go before us. Be amongst us with thy Spirit undeservedly, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 422:5-6. How blessed, Lord, are they who know the joyful sound, who when they hear thy voice in happiness abound. 5 and 6 of 422. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.